reading is from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5-8. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Sim Jemmett is going to preach to us now on this passage. Over to you, Sim.
Thanks, Claire. Hi, everyone, from my kitchen. I hope you're doing well, wherever you are. And yes, Claire said, if you've got your yellow book with that passage on that Claire just read for us, do keep that in front of you. And if you've got a Bible with that passage open, do have that open. You'll find that helpful as we look at it together now. So chances are, if you've spent the last couple of months in lockdown with other people in your house, there have been occasions when maybe you've got a bit fed up with each other, maybe even lost your temper and said something or done something that you later regretted. What if I told you that this passage that we're looking at in Philippians chapter 2 today contains the secret to getting along with your housemates and not winding each other up during lockdown? And in fact, the secret, not just to happy and healthy relationships in lockdown, but to good relationships in all of life, whether those are friendships, marriage, church family relationships, or even international relations. Well, that is just what we're going to find in these verses that we're looking at in Philippians chapter 2 today. Last week in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1-4, you remember if you were with us, you remember that we saw Paul telling the Philippians that it was really important that they got on well together. He told them to love each other and to be completely united, not to be selfish, but to put each other's needs before their own. The church in Philippi, Paul said, was to be a community that was known for the amazing quality of its relationships. But if lockdown's shown us anything, it's that relationships are really hard, aren't they? Especially when they're under pressure. People, we, are just really annoying, aren't we? And it's so easy to wind each other up and to fall out. And it is so hard to love each other and to get along. So the million-dollar question for the Philippians and for us is, how are we going to avoid annoying and winding each other up and instead have these kind of amazing relationships? Well, you'll be glad to hear that the answer, Paul tells us here in Philippians 2, 5-11, is actually pretty simple. It's not easy, but it is simple. The secret, Paul tells the Philippians and us, is to keep looking at Jesus. And that's what Paul does for us in verses 5-11 here. He takes one big, and helps us to take one big, long look at Jesus, who he is and what he's done. Because it's as we see Jesus for who he really is, and we remember what he's done, that we'll find the resources. He supplies the resources and the power that we need to truly love and serve each other. So that's the secret, to keep looking at Jesus. So let's do that together now. Let's look at this picture of Jesus that Paul paints for us here in these verses. So first of all, in verses 6-8, Paul shows us the humility of Jesus. In other words, how low Jesus went for us. section starts like this in verse 5. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God. We just pause there because the first thing that Paul tells us about Jesus is that he is, and he always has been, God. Paul says it's his very nature. In other words, it's the essence, the core of who he is. That means that Jesus is the maker of the universe. He's the creator of you and of me and of everything that we see. He can do anything he wants to. He is all-knowing. He's eternal. He never had a beginning and he'll never have an end. He's complete and he's perfect in every way. He's more glorious than the sun out my window there. He's bigger and more powerful than we can ever get our minds around. That's who Jesus is, Paul says. But verse 6 tells us something else amazing about Jesus. Have a look down, second half of verse 6. Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. All that power and status that Jesus had, he chose not to enjoy it, use it for himself. Instead, he gave it up to become a human being so that he could serve us. In our family, on long car journeys, we often end up playing the game, what would you do with £1 million? Do you ever play this in your car? It's quite simple. You talk about what you'd do if you had £1 million. And I don't know if your family is anything like mine, probably in this way. The things that we always end up thinking about doing with our imaginary £1 million, they're always things for ourselves. So we say we'd build a swimming pool in the garden, or we'd buy a Ducati, or we'd go on holiday to the Caribbean, or we'd buy every Lego set that's ever been made. That kind of thing. But you see, Jesus isn't like that. He had so much more than £1 million, and he didn't think about all the things he could do for himself with it. He thought of what he could do for us. And in order to help us, Jesus had to give up everything, all that power and glory and status. And instead, he made himself, you see what it says in verse 7? He made himself nothing. Compared to who he is as God, he made himself nothing. He became a limited, weak human being, and not even an important or powerful human being, but a lowly, unimpressive one. The one who the whole universe exists to serve became a servant. You could picture it a bit like this. And if you're writing notes or drawing notes and you want a picture to draw to help you along, you could try drawing something like this. So here's where Jesus started his journey. On the throne of the universe with God. But Paul says he didn't stay there. No, he came down to us, became one of us. Imagine in a post-lockdown world, one day there's a knock at your door and you open it up and you find none other than the Queen standing there at your door. And she's on her own, no entourage. She's just driven herself there in an old Ford Focus. And she's wearing some old overalls. And as you stand there, open-mouthed, she says, I've come to give you some help in the garden. I heard you needed some help, so I've come to mow your lawn. And after that, I thought I could do some weeding. And then maybe I'll take the bins out. Now, it's ridiculous, isn't it? And it's never going to happen. But if it did, even that would be nothing compared to what Paul is describing Jesus did here. You know, the Queen, she's already down here, one of us, although she's got a lot more power and wealth than most of us. Her coming down to us like that would just be a tiny movement like that. Nothing compared to all the way that Jesus came down. Which begs the question, doesn't it? Well, why then? Why did Jesus do it? Why would Jesus give up all this to come down for us? Well, it wasn't just because there's something noble about giving stuff up and becoming poor. No, the next verse in Philippians 2 tells us why Jesus did this. Have a look at verse 8. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus became a man, Paul says, so that he could experience the ultimate feature of human weakness, death. And not just any old death. No, the death that Jesus experienced was the most humiliating, degrading, most shameful kind of death that's ever been invented, Roman crucifixion. So you could think of it like this. Jesus came down, but not just to be one of us and amongst us. He went even lower than that. He went all the way to the cross, as low as anybody could ever go. See, Jesus knew that the only way we could be rescued from death and being cut off from God forever by our sin was to experience death and being cut off from God for us. And so that's why he came. And that's why he went to the cross. And that's what he did for all of us there. Think of the kindest thing that anyone's ever done for you. Maybe a gift that someone gave you that cost them a lot, or a kind act that someone did for you that meant they had to sacrifice something that they would have really enjoyed. I'm thinking of a time when a friend of mine lent me his brand new racing bike for the summer. He didn't have to, and I could have easily broken it or had it stolen or just not looked after it very well. But that didn't stop him. He gladly gave it to me anyway. And when you think of the kindest thing that anyone's ever done for you, it makes it much harder, doesn't it, to be stingy with your stuff towards others. As I remember how my friend gladly gave me his brand new racing bike, I then think of how selfish I am sometimes with my stuff, and I feel a bit silly. I think about his kindness to me, and it makes me want to share the stuff I have with others. And that's how it is when we keep looking at Jesus. Every time we look at Jesus, like Paul is helping us to do here, and remind ourselves of who he is and what he did to serve us, his Spirit uses that reminder to chip away a little bit more at our selfishness, to make us a little bit more selfless, a little bit more like him. And that's what I found happening to me as I've read and reread these verses over the last couple of weeks. His Spirit's been at work. But Paul doesn't stop our look at Jesus there. He wants us to see more than just the humility of Jesus, how low he went for us. He also wants us to see the exaltation of Jesus, how high Jesus is now. Have a look at verse 9. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. Going back to our picture, I guess you could picture it a bit like this. Jesus came down, he went as low as anyone could go, and then God raised him up to the highest place that he could go. Because of the amazing thing that Jesus did when he came down and went to the cross for us, Jesus went back to his rightful place by God the Father's side, but now with even more glory and brilliance than he had before. Like a king who goes off to fight a great battle and then comes back victorious. He was always the king, but now he comes back with even more respect and honor and glory than he had before. Because Jesus was willing to come down as a man and go to the cross, He's now qualified to be the Lord, the King of everyone and everything in a whole new way. And one day, Paul says, everyone will see and acknowledge that fact. You see that in verse 10? That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And Jesus' exaltation, it shows us something really important. It shows us that what matters most to God, the thing about people that God values most highly, is their humility and service. And that's really important for us to hear, because we live in a culture that says what matters most is how clever or how funny or how good looking you are. But when we look at Jesus and what he's done and where he is now, it shows us that those things are not what matters most. Jesus's exaltation shows us that what matters most in the end is how we use our lives to go low and serve others like Jesus did. And I think lockdowns helped us to appreciate that a bit, hasn't it? That's what Clap for Carers is all about, isn't it? It's recognizing that those who matter most in our society, they actually aren't the rich and the powerful, the people who so often lord their status over the rest of us. In fact, it's nurses and shop workers and carers and bin men, that the key workers who serve the rest of us, often in unseen and thankless and not very glamorous ways. And Jesus's exaltation shows us that in the end, God recognizes and rewards that kind of humble service. And when we get that, it's so liberating. It sets us free. It sets us free to give our lives away now in service of others without worrying that it will mean missing out. I don't know about you, but so often I hold back from serving other people because I worry that by giving up my time or my money to serve others, in the end, I'll be left with nothing. So I don't call that person who I know would really appreciate a chat because, well, I don't want to lose that hour of my time. And I don't give my money to that charity because, well, then I'll be out of pocket. But when we look at Jesus and where he is now, it reminds us that a life lived in service of others, it doesn't leave you with nothing. In the end, it means inheriting everything. And knowing that, it frees us from the fear of missing out, frees us to serve others. And so you see, serving others, that is the key to relationships that don't fall apart, but instead thrive under pressure. And the only way to have the resources to keep serving others is to keep looking at the servant King, Jesus. So as we close, why don't we just take a moment of quiet just to think about a particular thing that God has been saying to each of us in this part of his word. And then I'll close with a prayer in a few moments. Just a moment of quiet. Lord Jesus, when we look at what you are willing to do to serve us, we want to say sorry. We're sorry for the self-centeredness in our hearts and our unwillingness to serve others. We thank you for your willingness to serve us and to save us. We thank you that you don't call us to just follow your example in our own strength, but you give us your Holy Spirit who is at work in us to change us and empower us to serve others as you've served us. So, Father, Lord Jesus, please change our minds. Give us your mindset. Help us to humble ourselves and to serve one another so that we might be the kind of church that gives you the honor and glory that you deserve. Amen.
Thank you very much. And Sim, thank you for the way you've served and prepared us. I know it can be a bit weird to sort of preach into a screen. So thank you very much. We've just got a couple of questions come through. The first one, I think, is from Anton Vix, and they want to just get their head around how Jesus started high and he went really low. And Paul seems to say that he kind of gets exalted to somewhere even higher than he was when he began. How exactly does that work?
Yeah, it's good. It's a good question. A good spot. I think that is what's going on there. But quite exactly how it works is obviously going to be a bit sort of mysterious. We're never going to be able to bottom it out completely. But I guess I sort of think about it as, he's obviously completely perfect and glorious and holy in every way as God. But then he becomes a man and he goes back to heaven. The one thing that's different. The major thing that's different about Jesus when he goes back to the Father's side after the incarnation is he's now still a man who is God. And so that has kind of just magnified God's glory. God's just pulled something absolutely amazing off in the incarnation and death and resurrection and ascension of Jesus. And now Jesus, who was already completely glorious and perfect and wonderful, is now even more so because he is this God, man, who has won this great battle over the devil and over death and sin. So it looked like he couldn't get any more perfect and brilliant, but what do you know, he did, because God did this thing that no one would have ever thought of. I think you really see that in like Revelation. I've been struck by this in Revelation. When you see the song that the songs the angels and everyone in Revelation sing about Jesus, you see they're just can't praise him enough for what he did in the incarnation and on the cross, that he's now just, his glory has just been sort of magnified. Exactly how that works, I don't think we can get our heads around. But I think that is definitely the picture that the Bible seems to paint.
Thanks, Sim. We've got a question from Alex, which is verse 6. What does it mean where we say that Jesus, although he was in the very nature with God, basically didn't consider his equality or equalness something to kind of be used to his own advantage? What does that mean?
Yes, yeah, so some of the language here in these verses is quite tricky. It's quite kind of technical. And if you look at some of the commentaries, which look at the Greek, there's a lot of debate about how exactly to translate some of these phrases. And so you'll see if you've got like an older NIV translation or something like an ESV or a King James, you'll get some quite different sort of translations of some of these verses as translators try to grapple with the best way to translate the Greek into the English. But I think what's going on there is, one translation that's quite helpful because it's quite kind of visual of this phrase is he didn't consider his equality with God something to be grasped. He didn't grasp it. So he had it, it was his, but he didn't grab it tight. He, for the sake of us and serving us, he was willing to let it go. So I think I found that quite helpful sort of translation because it's another attempt to kind of get at what Paul's trying to say here. So he's definitely equal with God. He is God, but at the same time, he is willing to set aside some of that glory and power. And although he doesn't stop being God, he's still God when he becomes the man, Jesus, still fully God. He's chosen not to use any of that power or glory that he has as God. He sets it aside, becomes nothing, and chooses to live completely as a man. Again, impossible to completely get our heads around how that's all working, but I think that's clearly the picture the Bible's painting.
Thank you. Thank you, Sim. That's been really helpful.